So I decided we'd stop, we'd sing one last song. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We have been talking about relationships in the homes and in families. And so we're going to read a chapter here in just a moment. 1 Corinthians 13, if you can find it. We're going to read the first 8 verses. But actually, when you get to verse 8, I only want you to read the first half of it, okay? But we'll read along. Let's stand together, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. As a matter of fact, when we get to verse 7, I'll read verse 7 and verse 8 as well. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing.
Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up.
Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the reading of your word. And obviously tonight we've read the word charity several times. We know that that means love. And we know it means a specific love, an agape love. And so as we come to that subject this evening and as we think about the church family and homes, I pray you'll bless the teaching of your word, the preaching of your word. And help us, Lord, to apply it when it's all said and done. Apply it personally to our own lives and to the relationships that we are involved in. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've given, before we had Christmas, in the lessons that were in Christmas, I have given a few messages on the family, whether it's the home or whether it's the church family, and we have focused on those. Our 40th president, Ronald Reagan, said that the family was the cornerstone of the American society. And he wrote this. He said, "The family has always been the cornerstone of American society. Our families nurture, preserve, and pass on to each other, succeeding generations, the values that we share and cherish, values that are foundation for our freedoms. In the family, we learn our first lessons of God and man, of love and discipline, of rights and responsibilities, human dignity and human frailty. Our families give us daily examples of these lessons being put into practice in raising and instructing our children, in providing personal and compassionate care for the elderly, in maintaining the spiritual strength of the religious commitment among our people. In these and other ways, America's families make immeasurable contributions to America's well-being. Today, more than ever, it is essential that these contributions not be taken for granted and that each of us remember that the strength of our families is vital to the strength of our nation." That is very true. The home really is the cornerstone of American society. It has been said often that as goes the home, so goes the church. And as goes the church, so goes the nation. And that's true as well. Now what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where the word charity is used over and over, really is all about the agape way. It's the same word in John 3:16 where the Bible said, "For God so loved the world." It's the same word in Romans chapter 5:8, "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." So it's this agape love. Now, if you look at that text just for a moment, just to get a sense for it, look at verse 1. He said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels," I mean, this guy is a great orator, "but if I have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." You know what I'm like? I'm like useless noise. But I don't really have agape love in my heart. No matter how nice I sound, it's useless noise. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and I have all this knowledge, Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Now, there is more than one kind of love in the Bible. There's phileo love. A phileo is a Greek word that says, I love you because here are the reasons why I love you. You are this way and you do this, and these are all these wonderful things about you that I love. It's a friendship love. It requires a response. No relationship classes are really complete without that, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. What do you do in a marriage that is not emotionally real or that is not emotionally connected? Here's a man and a woman. They're already married. They're a couple, but they're not really connected, we'll say. What do you do then? There are those who are committed really to what I guess we could say is emotionally barren marriages that are really without any of the wonderful feelings of love, without any feelings of friendship, not much of friendship, not much of affectionate belonging or physical romantic love in these marriages, at least in some of them not now. But at one time there were. But something happened, and whoever knows why, but now it's gone. Or, and these are real life scenarios that I'm going to bring up, there's a man whose wife is caught up in the sophisticated trappings of a new job. She's got a new job, man, here's a woman, she's got her career on track to whatever it is, and all of a sudden she thinks that she no longer needs her husband, doesn't need anything that he can offer, and ultimately he even might even ask for a divorce. Or you have a lady whose husband has a personality change. I was hoping I was going to have a midlife crisis so I could buy a really cool sports car and blame it on having a midlife crisis. I'm kind of hoping that still happens. But anyway, hasn't happened yet. But I'm kind of hoping it does. Anyhow, so here's a lady who has a husband, and he has this personality change. And after an episode that led to his arrest, his wife refuses to come home, or refuses, I guess, to let him home, I think is what happened. There is a lady who is raising her children alone. She maintains the home. She copes with all the finances, never gets a word of approval or encouragement or even a love pat from her husband, even though he is a brilliant, self-centered scientist. He just can't really express how he feels for his wife. Then there's a man whose wife coldly rejects him. He wants nothing to do with him as a friend or as a lover. She doesn't even like him. She doesn't even seem to like him. And so you have this situation. Now, what is the answer for these people and for others who have no reason to feel love for their marriage partner? I mean, I get nothing, but I have no really real reason. I'm not saying me. I'm just saying in a normal. Never mind. I'll shut up while I'm behind. Anyway, so you're in a situation like this, and what are you going to do? What is the answer for these people and for others who have no reason to feel love toward their marriage partner? Now listen, God has provided a remarkable solution, and it's not divorce. That's not the solution. I mean, some people end up there, but that's not ultimately the answer. The answer is a love directed and fueled, listen, not by emotions, because love, all loves are not emotions, but by the will. You choose to love. Agape love is a choice. It's a choice that you make. Now, I'm going to say this a couple of times, but I'm going to say it now. Turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. I'm going to say it right now. God loves us because he chose to. He didn't look down from heaven and say, look at that wonderful person. I just think they're terrific and I love them. No, God chose to love the unlovable. Out of his own nature, God supplies the resources for this agape love, and they are available to any life connected with faith in him through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, this is agape love of the New Testament. I'm not going to take time tonight to go through 1 Corinthians 13 and define all of those things, what love is, although we could do that. But This is the agape love. It is unconditional. It is unchanging. It is inexhaustible. It is generous beyond measure, and it is wonderfully kind, and that is the kind of love that God has for his children. Now let me say those things again. It's unconditional. God never looked at me and says, I love him because. There was no condition based on that. It is unchanging. God did not someday decide, I just don't love you anymore. God didn't make that decision. It's inexhaustible. It doesn't run out. You make this choice to love and you just keep loving. And it's generous beyond measure. And it's wonderfully kind. It is the sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without any thought of return. Agape love is really about others. Now, even in marriages, now this might be hard to believe, unlovable traits show up in both partners. Did you know I can have unlovable traits? I know it might be shocking, but I can. And you can as well. Every person here has unlovable traits. And in every marriage, sooner or later, a need arises that can be met only by the unconditional love. There might be times when a partner looks at another partner and says, I have no idea why I love this girl. I have no idea why I love this guy. But you know what? It happens because we choose to make it happen. Agape is the answer for all of the woundings in marriage. This love has the capacity to persist in the face of rejection. It can continue on when there is no response at all. I was talking to an older gentleman one day about a relationship, him and his wife, and he says, well, I've shown her I love her, now it's her turn. Well, it's always your turn. Even if I don't feel like it, it's my turn. It is never deflected by unlovable behavior. In other words, I can say, well, my wife has done this and I've had it. My husband is this way and that's it. That doesn't matter. Those things are irrelevant to agape love. And it gladly gives to the undeserving without totaling the cost. Doesn't have a ledger where it says, one, two, look at all this. Oh, yeah. No, that's it. I'm done. I've kept track of all. No. It heals and blesses in unpretentious, practical ways. It's always realistically involved in the ordinary affairs of everyday life. Now, to the relationship of a husband and wife, which could otherwise lie at the mercy of fluctuating emotions, you can't trust your emotions. Our emotions go up and down all the time. Or human upheavals, agape imparts stability and a permanence that's rooted in the eternal. You see, agape is the divine solution for marriages that are polluted by imperfect people because none of us are perfect. We just aren't. Let me give you about six, I got a lot to say here tonight, but let me give you six observations about agape love. First of all, agape love means actions, not just attitude. You prove it. You prove it by what you do. Agape love means involvement, not a comfortable detachment from the needs of others. You get involved. Agape love means unconditional loving the unlovable. As much as we don't want to admit it, all of us are unlovable at times. But agape love says, I'm going to love the unlovable, the undeserving, the unresponsive. I'm going to love them anyway, or I'm going to love her anyway. Agape love means permanent commitment to the object of one's love. So if I love my wife, I'm going to love her. I'm committed to loving her. That's the object of my love. I'm going to love her no matter what. Or if you're a wife, it would be the other way around. Agape love means constructive, purposeful giving based not on blind sentimental, but on knowledge. The knowledge of what is best for the object of your love. And sixthly, agape love is the chief means and the best way of blessing your marriage partner, no matter what. Now I'm going to read you a short story that I took out of a book. And I don't even remember what book I got it out of. But I find stories like this fascinating. This is a true story. The author of the book, it was his parents. But it's not long, but listen. This is a particular case where a man loved his wife tenderly and steadfastly for a total of 15 years without any responding love on her part. She could not love him back. There could be no response because she had developed some kind of a chronic brain syndrome, and it messed with her brain. At the onset of the disease, she was pretty, energetic. She was a lady of about 60 who looked at least 10 years younger. In the beginning, she experienced intermediate times of confusion. For instance, she would drive to Little Rock, Arkansas, then find herself at an intersection without knowing where she was or why she was there or how to get back home. She was a former school teacher. She'd enjoyed driving her own car for many years, but finally, her husband had to take away her car keys for her safety. As her disease progressed, she gradually lost all of her mental faculties and did not even recognize her husband. He took care of her at home by himself for 5 years. During that time, he often took her for visits, she looking her prettiest, although she had absolutely no idea where she was. He proudly displayed her as his wife, introducing her to everybody, even though her remarks were apt to be inappropriate to the conversation. He never made an apology for her. He never indicated that there was anything wrong with what she had just said. He always treated her with the utmost courtesy. He showered her with love and attention no matter what she said or did. The time came, finally, when the doctor said that she had to go into a nursing home for intensive care. She lived there for 10 years. Part of that time, she was totally bedrest with arthritis. And he was with her every day. As long as she was able to sit up, he took her for a drive every afternoon, out to the farm, downtown, to visit the family, never in any way embarrassed that she was so far out of touch. He never made a negative comment about her. He did not begrudge the large amount of money required to keep her in the home all of those years, never even hinted that it might be a problem. In fact, he never complained about any detail of her care throughout the long illness. He always obtained the best for her and did the best for her. That's something. This man was loyal, always true to his wife, even though his love had no response for 15 years. I don't know if that was easy. Maybe it was. Maybe he loved his wife so much that he found it no problem. But you know what that is? That's agape love. That's not agape love in theory. That's agape love in practice. He loved her without any response back. Now, if we would apply those principles to our marriages, it could change some things. But some people are like, that's just impossible. But it's the kind of love that God has for us. God loves us. God loves the unlovable. But he still loves us. Agape gives the best to the one you love. You know, there's one thing above everything else that relationships need. Unconditional love. Now, there's other things that we really, really, really like. But the one thing that people need is unconditional love. What are the benefits of this unconditional love? Now, these are just practical things. I'll give you three or four or five or whatever I got. Number one, the self-image of the other person will be greatly enhanced. I'm not a psychologist. In fact, a lot of that stuff I don't even buy into. But the better a person feels about themselves, the better they are able to function in a marriage relationship or any other relationship. If they feel good about themselves, it just helps. We all need to feel loved. God put that within us. We have a need to love and a need to be accepted completely and unconditionally, just the way God loves us and accepts us. One who feels loved all the time, knowing that it's not based on performance, but on the unique value as a person. Now that is like a key difference between phileo love and agape love. Agape love is based on the value of a person because a person is valuable. Phileo love is based on quality traits or characteristics. Agape love sees this value of a person and it's able to relax and it's able to love generously in return. A person who feels at ease with himself, quite honestly, makes a more enjoyable partner. The second benefit is the habit of unconditional love can carry your partner safely through the periods of great and severe stress and whatever goes on in life. Learn something. When stress levels are high, our partners are apt to behave in unattractive ways. You ever hear the phrase, "I'm just stressed out about my job," or whatever? When people get that way, regardless of what it's over, often they respond in ways that aren't really pleasing or attractive or admirable or anything like that. But you practice the habit of unconditional love, and it helps carry that person through periods of stress. That is a signal that we need to give more love than normal, I guess I might say. Designed by the wisdom of God himself, God, agape is the best medicine for mental health and stress that there is. Thirdly, in an atmosphere of unconditional love, the two of you can find the security and stability that will help you to grow and become the individuals that you want to be. The psalmist said, "The goodness of God endureth continually." And in verse 8 of Psalm 52, it's like a green olive tree in the house of God, trusting in God's mercy, planted, rooted, living, growing. Unconditional love produces those things. The fourth benefit about unconditional love is it makes every day a smoother experience. And there's days, some people say, you know, this is, you're going to have a hard time believing this. I can't say that I've ever really had a bad day. Now, the other day, about everything I touched, I broke. I don't know. It was just one of those days. But, you know, it doesn't mean the whole day is bad. It's hard for me to believe that everything that happened to you during a full 24-hour period day is bad. I suppose it's possible. But I can't say that I've ever, maybe I just don't pay attention, but I can't say that I've ever noticed a day like that. Now, I've had some bad things happen in the course of a day, but that didn't ruin the whole day for me. So agape love makes every day a smoother experience. Now, some days, if I get through the morning without spilling a cup of coffee, I think I'm going to have a good day that day, all right? It doesn't happen often, but every now and again, I survive it. Now, because you have established the habit of expressing agape love, you don't need to be disagreeable just because you're feeling depressed or worried or ill or fatigued. You don't. You continue to treat your mate with courtesy and with kindness, and you avoid those uncontrolled outbursts that can be devastating to the love life of a marriage. Your partner doesn't become your emotional football, because you constantly behave with love no matter how you feel. Now, some of you are not going to buy into that right there. You say, well, I'm tired and I'm fatigued and I'm stressed out, so I just can't. Yes, you can. If you choose to, you can. Fifthly, unconditional love removes the spirit of defensiveness on both sides. You don't feel a need to defend yourself from attacks or to be cut down by criticism, or you don't need to cut the other person down with criticism. Unconditional love is that we can love and even in the face of extremely unlovable behavior. Have you ever read the book of Hosea in your Bible? Hosea married a woman who became a prostitute, a harlot. But you know, he still loved her. She was unlovable as could be. But he loved her in spite of all of that, and ultimately he won her love back. This is a beautiful, beautiful book to read on the picture of unconditional love. Her life, Miss Hosea's life, was right in the gutter. It's important for all of us to stop and evaluate our approach to love. I guess the question you need to evaluate is this: do you love with unconditional love, or do you love your mate based on performance? I mean, that's a critical question. I love my wife so long as, you know, my eggs are perfectly made and lunch is made nicely and packed in my lunch pail and, you know, supper's a good meal. Then I love my wife. But what if she doesn't perform up to those standards? Or pick something about your husband. I like my lawn mowed nice and short, but what if he didn't get around to mow it the last 2 or 3 weeks? I don't love him now. You ought to see our yard. It's disgusting. Well, That love is not agape love. That love is based on conditions. If she measures up to these standards or if he measures up to these standards, now I love him. That's an important question for people to ask. Let's ask a few other questions. Is my treatment of other people based on their behavior? And in that case, you can go beyond your marriages. Is your treatment of other people based on their behavior? Or do you love them no matter what? That's what God does. This one is based on your marriage. Does my partner's performance determine the degree of love I give to him or I give to her? Long as they perform, they're going to get a high level. Not so much. Do I think that love should be shown only as a reward for good behavior? That is a very dangerous thing to do in any relationship. Do I feel that my partner, this one's for marriage again, has to change before I can love him or her more? Now let me say something. Did God say, I will love Jeff Carpenter more just as soon as he changes? Is that what God said? No, God didn't say that. God loved me without any change at all. Now, once God and I connected in a spiritual sense, God did expect me to change. In every relationship, if a partner's acting like a moron, the other person has a right to expect change. But they still love that person unconditionally, because that's what God did. Do I think I can improve my partner's behavior? Think about something. Do you really think this will work? I can improve my partner's behavior by withholding love from them. Do you really think that'll help? But people do it. They do it quite often, it happens. Am I reacting to other people most of the time? Not responding, but reacting. Now, the total commitment of agape becomes the bedrock foundation of your marriage. To feel accepted every day, but possibility being rejected tomorrow is of very little value. So, let me give you a few other things and I'll be done. I'm trying to hurry. How do I make agape the central face of my marriage? Number one, and this is the key to the whole message really, choose with your will to love your mate unconditionally. Make it a choice. You don't know my husband. You're probably right. I don't have to live with him. You don't know my wife. I probably don't know her as well as you do either, because I don't live with her either. But you can still choose to love unconditionally and permanently through your attitudes, your words, and your actions. When the prodigal son came home, how did the father respond? He said, look, there my son was lost and now is found. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's put a ring on his hand. Let's make merry. Man, let's have us a time. And they did. And remember the older brother in the second half of the chapter there in Luke 15, I think? He got angry, mad at the dad. I mean, he did not love unconditionally. He loved conditionally. When you get to the end of that story, it's almost like the elder son was worse than the prodigal son with his attitudes. Anyway, choose with your will to love your mate unconditionally. When God created us, he gave us a mind to think. We can think. Because we can think, we can choose. He did give us emotions that feel. We all have feelings. And he gave us a free will to make choices. And we can choose to love. With our will, we want certain things and we choose certain things. Our will ultimately becomes the most influential part of our personalities. What do I want? Thus, we choose to take God's Bible and biblical principles concerning love, and we choose to give this love to our mates without limits and without conditions. So, choose to love. Secondly, develop the knowledge you need in order to do the very best for the object of the person you love. You say, preacher, I just can't do that. Actually, you can. If the loving action of agape is not guarded by knowledge of your partner, you will miss the mark. I'll miss the mark. Now, there are two kinds of knowledge. There is biblical knowledge. Study the Bible. Learn how a husband is to love his wife and what a wife needs from her husband. From a biblical study, a man learns how to become the kind of husband that's described in Ephesians chapter 5. A woman learns the best thing she can do for her husband is to become the wife that he needs by studying 1 Peter chapter 3, Titus chapter 2, and Proverbs chapter 31. Many good books have been written on the role of a husband and the role of the wife. You can read some of those. Briefly, a man studies the New Testament, the Song of Solomon. God has designed him to be a protector, a competent leader who will take care of his family, and tender and kind and courteous lover who initiates the love for her. Now, that's what a woman needs in a simple thing. I can tell you because I know most of the guys in our church. And there are a lot of type A personality guys in our church. And we're not always as tender as we ought to be. I'm in that category. I know that. That's just part of my personality sometimes, I guess. But I'm not saying it's right, but I know myself a little bit. A wife who studies finds that God has designed her to be a responder to her husband's love, one prepared to help him, who will gracefully adapt to her husband's calling in life and in ministry and really whatever, who possesses the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit as she respects and affirms her husband and who continues to delight in him all through his life because that's what he needs from her. Now that's God's design from creation, and no matter what cultural changes people attempt to bring in the name of unisex and all the stuff that's going on out there, the fact remains that God created us male and female with distinctive privileges and distinctive responsibilities. To love your mate, you've got to study the Bible. Now, or study biblical books, or both. Then you have to have personal knowledge. Don't turn there, but if you read 1 Peter chapter 3, an intelligent, intimate, perceptive knowledge of the unique individual that you are married to. I'm me, and there might not be another guy here like me. And there's a ladies out there, I have a wife over there, there might not be another woman like her. But she's married to me, and she's not married to you, and I'm married to her. So we have to study each other. Well, you have to do that in your own relationship as well. You have to know, what do they say? You have to know what floats his boat, and you have to know what floats her boat, so to speak. Okay? So you have to study your partner. If you don't understand your mate's, whatever their specialized needs are, you might want to ask them. One guy might say, I need words of encouragement. I need my wife's respect, and her. All men need that. I need her support in certain areas. Now, because you understand her, you will know what she desires and what she needs and how to meet those needs, or you'll learn them, and then you'll work on trying to meet them. What will make her feel loved? How do I do the best for her on a consistent basis? Studying each other and studying the scriptures is critical. One can be loved and accepted unconditionally and still feel genuinely loved. I'm sorry, and still not feel genuinely loved. So you got to study them. What feels like love will vary from individuals to individuals. In other words, one measures it through gifts. Boy, I just like it when my wife brings me home a Snickers candy bar, man, it's awesome. One measures it by words of affirmation. Another wife really appreciates her husband as he helps around the house. Another one might appreciate quality time spent together. Another one might appreciate more openness and sharing of thoughts. Some people need to hear I love you more often. Somebody, it might be I just need a little bit of physical affection more than anything else. Others measure love by sensitivity, shown by feelings like cards or calls. But all men and women are different. Some women like flowers. Not all women like flowers. Some like plants. But learn what speaks love to your partner and express it that way. How do you show I love you? That's what you have to figure out as you study. And then apply everything that you know in giving agape love. Pour your life into it. Because agape is action. Make efforts to do loving things for your partner daily on a consistent basis. Now, the wise husband and the wise wife listens with a heart to consider and understand what the partner needs and feels. And if you're like most men, then you have to process it and think about it and dwell on it and think about it. But it's got to be unconditional. Now, let me say something. Do not start loving with agape just because you want to reform your mate. That's not agape. That's conditional love. Change comes from inner motivation. So accept your partner exactly the way he is or exactly the way she is, and seek to change your own behavior in accord with the biblical standards to lovingly meet your mate's need. Now, the rest then is accomplished by the Holy Spirit of God working through the Word of God. And then, let me say this lastly, support each other. You say, well, where? Their hobbies, their work, around the house, out in the garage, ministry, with the kids. My late wife, before she passed away, she just loved figure skating. I didn't care for figure skating. It was like, you gotta be kidding me, figure skating. Anyway, so she puts faith in figure skating classes. Well, I gotta take her to figure skating practice and all this stuff. Well, you know what? Because they liked it, you know what I learned? To like it. I couldn't care less about it. She was not into sports. Some women are, and most women aren't. But she knew who all my favorite sports, Chris knows most all my favorite sports teams, my favorite race car drivers. When Richie Evans was killed in 1985, I came home, she was crying. She didn't know Richie personally, I knew him personally. You know why she was crying? She was supporting me. And I could not believe that he got killed in a wreck until I had to go get a newspaper and read it for myself. I wouldn't believe it. But we did. I knew Richie, she didn't. But it was like, wow, I could not believe it. You learn, you support each other in maybe work somehow if you work together. I don't know. Most people don't, but some people do. You've got to learn to support each other in all the practical things of life. I like to spend time out in the garage. Not every guy does. I spend zero time on a computer. None at all. But other guys spend time on a computer. We're not the same. I don't even use the internet. I use a computer for one thing, to read emails. That's it. I've graduated to that. I only done that in the last few years. You know, you ought to be proud of me for that. But anyway, I don't even have an interest in a computer. None. So we learn to support. Because if I could remind you what Mr. Reagan said, the home is the foundation of the nation. And he didn't say this, but it's been said by hundreds of preachers. As goes the family, so goes the church. The church needs strong families. And as goes the church, so goes the nation. Now, the non-church crowd won't want to buy into that. But churches are the best thing society has to offer. They just are. And the country needs strong churches, and there are no strong churches without strong families. They just aren't. They go together. So let's try to learn and practice agape love in our homes, in our other relationships. Let's not love people based on performance and conditions that we set, standards that we come up with. We love them anyway. We just do. You know why? We choose to. That's agape love. And no marriage will really be a joy without it. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Father, we need strong homes. We need homes that are based on the Word of God and on Scripture. As a man, I need to study what the Bible says about being a good husband, a good father. That's what I need to do for myself. The other men need to do the same. The ladies need to do for them. The young single people here that desire one day, have a desire to be married, they ought to start now. But we have to get a hold of this agape love, because there is a lot of conditional love in the world today. I love you if. But that's not biblical. That's not biblical at all. And with the children of God, in our church family and in our homes, there needs to be unconditional love. Now, that doesn't mean we tolerate sin. I pray that nobody would interpret it that way. But we accept people for who they are, And we desire that they change to biblical standards, obviously grow to that. But we don't withhold love from them if they're not there. We love them anyway. And there's a lot of people in the world that we know that are unlovable. But every one of us at times has unlovable traits. Help us to love them. Father, help us to show the love that you showed. That'll help us win more people to Christ than anything. So give us this passion and desire to have this in our lives and in our homes especially. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, ushers, would you come, please? Let's take an